Welcome to another episode from Smarter Equipment Finance. We're going to be discussing manufacturing, equipment financing, and balancing modernization and affordability. My name is Robert Jackson. I'm with my co-host, Al Smith Jr. And so one of the things that we're going to discuss today is we're going to talk about how the manufacturing sector has started shifting back towards the United States from overseas, that we saw a lot of the supply chain issues that occurred when COVID had struck a little over 4 years ago. But nevertheless, we've seen with what occurred during that event, just how fragile the supply chain can be, from people having to wait months to get refrigerators or dishwashers, to car parts being backordered, truck parts being backordered, a lot of things like that, to where manufacturers wanted to come back over to the United States soil to make it more attractive through tax incentives or what have you. What we want to discuss with Al is the need for modernization and newer equipment. So why do you think that new equipment is critical for staying in a competitive edge?
Well, one thing that I will say is we learned a lot of lessons during COVID. And one of those lessons was that we depend on other countries for some of the things that we can make ourselves. I grew up Chicago, and at the time that I grew up, I can name probably 10 families that worked in the automobile manufacturing. Worked for Ford Motor Company or worked for GM. And these were good jobs. These were jobs usually on the assembly line, and they made our cars. Now, with modernization, robots are doing a lot of the work that people did. And it is important to be updated and modern. And in the case of making cars, you can't make cars without robots now. People just can't do what robots do. People need brakes. People work 8-hour shifts. People take off and get sick. So with the modernization of manufacturing, which is coming back in our country now, since we realize we need to make more of our own products, financing is going to be an option that most companies are going to need, because things are expensive. Everything is more expensive than it was pre-COVID, including manufacturing equipment, which brings in the need for good financing options so that you can be profitable.
Now, with that said, why don't we kind of break down those financing options that we're talking about? So if a customer were to come to you and he wanted to finance some manufacturing equipment, how would you propose him? Let's say he wanted to know the difference between a loan or a lease. Do you have that?
Well, first I want to know, what's your plan? I mean, do you plan to keep this equipment for 5 years and then it's going to be outdated and you're going to need new equipment? Or is this equipment going to work for you for 15 years until it breaks down and it doesn't work anymore? So depending on your plan, it's going to depend on the option that you want to take. Most companies want to actually own it at some point. Pay for it, it's paid for itself, and now it makes money without any expense. That's the ideal situation. If a person just says, you know what, I want to lease it and give it back, first of all, I would want to know why. And if it made sense, okay. If it didn't make sense, I'd talk them out of it and show them that there's a better option for them. But long-term is usually what companies want. They want to stretch it out and let the machinery make money for them as they go. I've heard you say this before, and I actually say this to customers. I mean, if you're going to hire me and pay me $100,000 to work for you, are you going to give me the $100,000 up front? Or are you going to give me $8,000 a month as I work? I would suggest you do it that way.
So you're kind of saying pay for it as it pays you.
That's the way I would do it. Right. That makes more sense.
Got you.
I mean, if you think the cash option is the best option for your company and your company is cash rich, then that may be your best option because you avoid any finance charges associated with getting loans. But again, most companies need the revenue. Most companies don't want to give up all of their cash. And in most cases, they can't because the equipment is too expensive.
I think it comes down to more or less when you're talking to a client that you've got to listen to what they mean and not what they say.
You got to read between the lines.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a difference. So,
and we educate along with helping you to get the loan. I'm going to educate you.
The reason that we do that is because sometimes we're not always the best fit.
Yes, that's true.
We do have a lot of portfolios that can service anybody from A to D. Mm-hmm. We can go up to $3 million on some of our portfolios, mm-hmm. just with one underwriter. So we have a lot of options that we can present to people of all types and all scopes.
Now, here's something that I'd like to ask you, Robert, because I'm curious about it. Because with some companies, the managers make the decisions. Mm-hmm. So when they're applying for these loans, are the managers able to sign for the company?
Well, there's two types of programs that we can implement. We have a corp-only program where we don't require a PG. Typically, that would be a company that's been established, has credibility and longevity, has a history and some credit depth, particularly from PayNet, Dun & Bradstreet, and other factors. But when we run a corp-only deal, we have to have at least the main guy, someone like a CEO or a CFO or somebody who has the authority to act on behalf of the company and somebody who can has the authority to do. I've done several of those deals, but it's very, very, it's very uncommon. It's more common for us to do a corp only deal with a PG because we only do business to business financing. We don't extend personal loans of any kind. So if you're a business owner, that's what we service. Okay. So when a business owner comes to us, what we can do is we can present different options. Maybe a lease would work better for him. Maybe a loan would work better for him. But as you were saying earlier, most people prefer the loans because they like the satisfaction and peace of mind of owning the equipment and knowing that once they do own it, that they can just reap the rewards. Mm-hmm. The benefits to leasing is when you can have certain tax write-offs. You'd have to talk to your CPA about that do supersede the loan, but you never really own it. So that's the trade-off. There's a price to pay in everything that you do, and that's the price you pay for that.
Well, if I didn't own it, it would have to be a big difference in the amount that I'm paying out. Because if I'm paying out the same, it makes no sense not to own it. And in most cases, you will be paying about the same, which is why, in most cases, I talk people out of leasing it because it makes more sense to own it. We're talking about modernization of your manufacturing equipment. Why do you think it's necessary to upgrade? I mean, why, if your equipment is working, why do you need to upgrade?
Well, I'd imagine that the first reason you'd have to upgrade would be due to the maintenance and repair costs. If a major component or a major machinery were to go down, perhaps the parts won't be available. Maybe the cost or the lost opportunity cost of servicing your customers by having that downtime would be too much. So in order to stay competitive in 2024, you've got to stay current. That's just what you got to do. You've got to stay current. You can't live like it's 1983 because it's not. It's 2024.
Are you able to buy used equipment or are we talking modernization means new equipment?
Modernization just means newer equipment. Okay. It can still be used equipment if it's serviceable. So if somebody's running a piece of machinery that was manufactured when Carter was in office, we're going to have a bit of a problem because...
Well, most people don't remember when Carter was in office.
I wasn't even born when Carter was in office.
I'm surprised that you brought that up, but yeah.
So Well, you have, I mean, when people are buying manufacturing equipment, it's the longevity is what they're looking for, quite honestly. I mean, they're looking for it to service them for probably a decade or more.
And now, most manufacturing equipment, I'm going to assume, is going to have a 10, 15-year lifespan?
Probably. Okay. Maybe longer.
In that case, what's the longest that a company could expect to get a loan for? Could they stretch it out for 10 years?
Not quite 10 years, but we can go actually as long as 84 months in some instances. Al, I'm going to share a brief interaction I had with a customer. I won't tell you any of the details for obvious reasons, but it was a client of mine that had contacted me out of Florida, and he was looking for a mold control system. What a mold control system is it's a robotic system that fills bottles. So it's able to fill sunscreen, lotions, shampoos, things like that. So he was manufacturing, he was filling it for others. He was licensed and he was doing it. He needed to get some new machinery. He had found a piece of machinery. It was overseas, and it was about 30% less than what the same machine would have cost here in the States. So I was able to get him approved on the condition that the machine must be on the U.S. soil before he can pick it up, before we can fund it, because we can't ship, we can't pay any outside financing sources. We can't pay somebody in China or Sweden or Paris. We can pay him in the 50 states. Okay. Hawaii and Alaska is fine. So he was able to... through means and other things of doing my research and not afraid to roll up your sleeves and get to work, I was able to find a physical location. It was just basically a storage facility, but it was licensed and validated for this manufacturer. So we were able to successfully pull the deal through just by putting a little bit of work in and finding a supplier that we could ship the equipment to that he could go pick it up. And it was in St. Louis or something like that, which he wasn't opposed to because he was saving $50,000 on the total cost. So he didn't care about traveling up to St. Louis to pick it up or having it shipped or whatever he decided to do.
Well, now we're talking about expanding and growing and modernization, but there are some mistakes that you can make. You want to stay current, but you don't want to jump in too far, if that makes sense. Profitability is the key. The whole purpose of being in business is to be profitable. If you're profitable with the equipment you have, and getting new equipment is not going to make you more profitable, it makes no sense to do it. If the newer equipment is going to help you to manufacture more, in less time, if it's going to help you to manufacture a better product, if it's something that is going to do that's going to make it better, then it makes sense to do it. If it's not, then just doing it to do it does not make good business sense. And I have seen businesses just get new equipment just because they think it's time to get new equipment, and they can. And again, it depends on who's making those decisions. If you've got the owner of the business making the decision, they're usually going to make the decision based on profit. If you've got managers making the decision, sometimes they're going to make the decision based on the budget. And managers think differently. They think about producing. And owners think differently because they're thinking about bottom lines. So you got to counterbalance the two. The bottom line is always is always the bottom line, because nobody's employed without the bottom line. So there's a thin line. There's a line you got to dance. But when it is time to get it, and you know that it's time to get it, then getting good financing is also as crucial as getting the equipment.
When a client or a customer were to come to us and they present the problem and we offer the solution, we want to make sure that the solution matches what they're looking for and it makes sense. And what I mean by that is this, is just because you get an approval or just because you get terms doesn't necessarily mean you have to accept those terms. And sometimes those terms can be unfavorable. And I'm not opposed to telling the business owner that this is not a good deal. And the reason it's not a good deal is for this, this, and this. But if you still want to move forward, that's on you. But they're going to take your advice because you developed a relationship with them. They trust you. They look at you as an advisor and an advocate on their behalf, or at least that's how you should position yourself.
In that case, when it's not a good deal, do you look for a better deal?
Of course.
Or is of that, course. When it's not a good deal, that's the only deal that...
I've never had a customer come to me and ever say, no, that's too low. I want to pay a little bit more. It's okay. Never happened. So until that day happens, I'm going to continue to approach it the way I always have,
okay.
Which is give me a better deal. So when we interact with a customer, we're obviously going to go for the best deal for them, not for us. Okay. And the reason we
if
do that...
If he only has one choice, that's when you're saying, correct. Okay, it's not really a good deal. Yeah. I tried to get you a good deal. This is the best deal I was able to get you approved on.
Correct. So we're not really held hostage to the appetites of one particular program. So if an individual wants a program that has a deferral, you know, he doesn't want to make his payments for 6 months for whatever reason, we can help. If he wants to do a deferral for 3 months, we can also do that. So there's a lot of really cool, flexible things that we can do. We've got programs that do 100% financing. That's most of them. So you don't even have to outlay any cash. The other cool thing about the products that we offer is, unlike bank loans, where they're going to take a long time to approve you, if they do, they're going to require a lot of financial documentation like tax returns, financial statements, interims, balance sheets,
business plans,
all that sort of thing. And then if they do approve you, they may have some sort of restrictive covenants within there that state that you might have to have certain account ratios. They might put a blanket lien on your business, on all your inventory and accounts receivable to secure the loan, even though our transactions are self-collateralizing, so we don't have to worry about any of that.
And when you say self-collateralizing, what do you mean?
It means the asset itself is like a car loan. When you go to a car lot and you buy a car off a car lot, you don't have to pledge any collateral because the car is collateral. So the same thing with these machinery.
Now, when businesses are making a decision on purchasing equipment, you got to be thinking long term, okay? So if the business is a newer business, you've been in business for 3 or 4 years, well, you plan to be in business for another 20 years, so you got to be thinking long term. So when you get this equipment, are you looking for equipment that's going to only last 3 years? No, you want equipment that's long-term. You want to think long-term. RJ, Robert Jackson.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this podcast with me. We like our customers to be well-informed. If this podcast is giving you anything to assist you, then that's what we're doing it for. If you've got questions, you can always call us, even if you don't want to apply. We're here. We love answering questions. If you do want to apply, just check out the link below. Send in an application. You can ask for me or Robert if you like, or any of our professionals. Everybody here is well-trained. We all have the same mindset, and that is to think of our clients first. We know that it sounds corny, but we know that if we look out for our clients, it pays us back, because you and I both work on referrals more than anything else, and we depend on people saying good things about us. So try us out. If you want to compare, we encourage you to try other people too. That's the only way you'll know how good we are.
And I wanted to say thank you for being on this podcast, Al. I hope that you and anybody else listening can take this to heart and find some information that we've spoken about valuable to help them in some degree.
All right. We hope their business gets more profitable. That's what it's about.
That's right.